A Divine Plea. Jupiter looked down with sorrow on the blue Mediterranean. The scattered, battered ships of Ulysses to the northeast, the beached remnants of Aeneas's fleet to the southwest. At his shoulder came the angry voice of Venus, goddess of love and beauty. "It's not enough that you allow the walls of my beloved Troy to be pierced by the deceit of the vile Ulysses, but the city and its people must be destroyed with a violence and cruelty such as has never been seen, all a punishment for my beauty."
"Hardly that, my dear Venus."
"Oh, but yes. If Paris had presented your favourite Minerva with the golden apple, or your wife Juno, how different then the world would be."
"Well, perhaps, but now, you see, the thing is, my mortal son Aeneas, as pure and honest a man as ever breathed, is taunted and tormented by Juno as a mouse is toyed with by a cat. Have you forgotten the future that is written for him?"
"Come now, Venus, I know you're upset and..."
"Upset, my king? Upset? That is a word for some minor misfortune, such as may befall a mortal."
I misspoke. You are..."
"A headache is upsetting. The loss of a sheep is upsetting. I come to you not upset, but fired with a divine rage such as..."
"Yes, yes, you are angry, very angry, quite overcome with very righteous wrath. Indeed, and of course, I understand that. But you have to understand that I must balance the demands of many Olympians, all of whom have a stake in the unwinding of human destinies.
Mine is the most urgent. What could be more important than the establishment of a new order, a new empire of mankind that will change the world utterly? You have allowed the Greeks a victory. Very well. They crow and beat their breasts in triumph like apes. They slink home with their ships laden with stolen treasure. So be it. But the final victory, after all their humiliation, will be for the great Trojan race. Even you, mighty Jupiter, cannot alter that future. All I demand is that you do not try to frustrate it. Let my Aeneas be. Juno's jealousy cannot be allowed to wreck the rightful destiny of the human world."
"Well, I don't think it's fair to call it jealousy." A rumbling in the sky accompanied these words. Jupiter was determined to be allowed to finish a sentence. "While it is true that my dear wife and queen Juno did have issues with Paris and the Trojans, there is also to be considered her patronage of Tyrian Carthage and her deep fondness for its people. Oracles have foretold its destruction at the hands of the descendants of your son Aeneas."
"But that destiny is far into the mortal future. In the meantime, Carthage will rise and rise in prosperity. If the end will indeed see rivalry between the two foremost civilizations of the world, then let it be so. But again I say, even great Jupiter cannot pit his powers against the laws of destiny."
Venus was referring to the wars that would come in the far future between Rome and Carthage. These Punic Wars, 264 to 146 BC, saw Hannibal and his elephants very nearly conquer Rome, but they ultimately resulted in the complete destruction of Carthage and the great expansion of the power and influence of Rome throughout the Mediterranean world.
"I see the future too," said Jupiter, his voice darkening as it took on the self-conscious grandeur it always adopted when he swung into prophetic mood.
And I tell you that your concern is needless. I have seen it all. Your son Aeneas will travel to Latium, where he will found the city of Lavinium. His descendants, through his son Ascanius, known as Iulus, will rule for 300 years. From that line, and the loins of your husband Mars, will be born the twins Romulus and Remus, whose destiny you know. Even my beloved Juno, now so filled with furious hate for Aeneas and all the kin of Priam and Hector, even she will come to favour and revere the race that carries the name of Romulus. I have seen it and willed it all. I tell you furthermore that the day will come when the descendant race of Mars shall vanquish the very homeland of Achilles. Even Agamemnon's great Mycenaean empire shall fall before them. The once all-conquering people of Argos shall be their slaves. Is that not revenge enough? Do not place yourself in my way, Venus. I am not your enemy, nor am I the enemy of your beloved son. Let the spool of history unwind. Now I shall send Mercury down to Dido, Carthage's queen. He will tell her to prepare to receive the Trojans with warmth and generosity. Satisfied? It would be blasphemy to say that the foam-born goddess Venus grunted, but the noise of assent she gave her king was as close to such a sound as might ever be heard to issue from a divinity of her grace and beauty.